That's okay.
So. There we go. All right. So let's go on to the next one. We got item 16, standard deviation of 2.61. The gold standard puts it in 2, which is fairly low. Now, they might have both put it in 2, or one put it in 1 and one put it in 3, but those are the only two options for the gold standard. Either they both put it in 2, or one put it in 1 and the other put it in 3. So they're pretty tightly grouped together. We have Holly in 5, Jeremy in 7, Mel in 7, and Anthony in 9. Wow. So that's a difference of...
Mel in 5, I thought.
What?
Is Mel in 5?
Yes, 5. So Anthony's 7 away from the gold standard. So let's look at this item, 16. There is discussion of body functions, physical symptoms, or health. So this is an item we don't talk about very much. Placing characteristic direction of discussion emphasizes somatic concerns, physical symptoms. Patient may complain of fatigue, illness, having headaches, menstrual pains, poor appetite, the like, anything bodily. And uncharacteristic if physical complaints are not an important topic of discussion. So,
yeah, I mean, it was pretty, it seemed really evident to me that physically shaking and shuddering were brought up several times throughout the session, both at the front and the tail end. I have the examples here. If that counts as like a physical symptom.
Well, let's hear what it is.
So she starts off, I didn't feel safe in my room, but it was really scary. And then I've been very shaky for the past 2 days. My hands tremble and my legs feel like they're rubber bands. You know, I don't feel right. Therapist is, that was in the first couple lines. Next page, but I was visibly shaking and, you know, it wasn't a comfortable feeling, so I talked to them. They go on, and towards the end, I see the therapist is, you know, it's not an unusual fantasy. I would venture so far as to say that everybody in this community must have wondered that when they heard the story, so it's not unusual that you would have that fantasy. There's something about it that is so disturbing to you that you literally shudder. You shuddered right after you said it. You started to shake all over for a brief second. Patient goes, it's very frightening to me. So those were just like a couple examples of that being referenced.
All right, well, already I disagree with the gold standard.
I have a comment.
Yes.
There's an item like therapist emphasizes nonverbal.
Yes, that. So this would all. This would also count for that. You're right.
Right. So this would definitely be that. Would this one would be high for that one?
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if like. The gold standard, even Holly, Jeremy, and Mel, I don't know, because they're not talking about, Mel just said her power went out.
Guys, yeah, sorry to interrupt. I'm connecting through my hotspot on my phone, so I don't know how reliable that is, but I'm crossing my fingers that I'm able to stay the whole meeting.
All right, it sounds fine.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that, but I feel like if they were talking more actively about like sickness or bodily things or like,
that was my thinking.
Well, I do agree that, I do agree with Anthony that it's not a 2.
It's definitely not.
Definitely not a 2.
Definitely not.
I mean, what Anthony read alone would disqualify a 2. Is it a 5 or a 9? That's the question. And I'd have to read the rest of the transcript. I do think that what the patient is talking about are bodily functions. And the therapist is acknowledging that he or she even sees bodily functions. Actually, this therapist is a she. And so I don't know that a nine works. If that's all you've got, Anthony, I don't think that a nine works for this. Mm-hmm. Because the overall theme of the transcript, I would assume, is not physical symptoms and somaticizing and that and the like. But I would entertain like anything from a 5 to a 7.
What did I put in there? Did I put a 5?
Yeah, you put a 5.
I would entertain a 6, but okay. I wouldn't entertain a 7.
You what?
I said I would entertain a 6, because I do agree too that those are bodily functions, but I don't think it was salient enough to be above a 6, but that's just...
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, I think anywhere from 5 to 7 would work for me.
Yeah.
So I can move mine up to a 6, too.
So, Anthony, if you can come down a bit.
Yeah, I'm down to come down. I think it was just very, must have been just very top. I, like, distinctly remembered it, so I just, like, rated it aggressively. But it wasn't, like, the whole session they were talking about shaking. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's move down to number 4, 98. We've talked about 98 before. Standard deviation was 2.59. The gold standard average was 3. We've got Holly in 8. That's too high. Two for Jeremy, that's fine. And we've got Mel in 4, that's fine. And Anthony in 7, that's a little high. So let's talk about 98.
Okay, I don't just have extreme opinions, because this was like, there was like examples of this that I was like, wow, this is so characteristic.
The therapy relationship is a focus of discussion. Therapist calls attention to features of the interaction or interpersonal process between the patient and him or herself. So it's exclusive to the therapeutic relationship, the relationship between the patient and the therapist.
Yeah.
Uncharacteristic, I think very uncharacteristic would be interactions in which maybe something should be said about the therapeutic relationship, but nothing is said about it. For example, let's say that the patient hops into the therapist's lap and neither one says anything about it. That would be very uncharacteristic, because it's being avoided. You know, talk of the therapeutic relationship is being avoided in that situation. So, yeah, so the gold standard was claiming that it wasn't a topic of conversation between the patient and therapist. But Holly, you think it was. So you have some examples of that?
Yeah, so like when the therapist was saying, you're not the only one who had this preoccupation and anxiety about violent images, what is really disturbing to you is your own aggressive and violent fantasies, and then therapist says, it's constantly on your mind, it's very troubling. Patient says, I don't know. Therapist says, I'll tell you another reason, I think that this issue is an important one for you. I think, what was it yesterday, the first time you were ever able to get angry at me when I kicked you out of down here? And the patient laughed and said, yeah. And the therapist said, I regard that as a pretty big step forward. Yeah, I never heard you get angry. And then they talked about it. I didn't really get angry. A little bit, but I was more fooling around. Well, sometimes when you're experimenting with something new, fooling around is the only way to do it. The patient laughed. Like, there was like a clear interaction about the therapy relationship. So,
I agree with you. I don't know if that's the only example, I don't know that I put it in 8. But certainly that is a very clear example of discussion of the therapy relationship. So I agree with you that that is a good example. And I think that would disqualify, again, that would disqualify a three. I would endorse anything from 5 to 7 again, probably. No, Jeremy would, if he were here, he would vehemently disagree and say, hey, I'm with the gold standard here. I'm golden.
No, not always golden for the gold standard.
Mel had 4 and Anthony had 7. Anthony, was that the same example that you were identifying when you when you put this in the 7?
Yeah, it was the same exact circumstance that stuck out to me where they were reflecting on the patients getting angry the prior session, and then they talk about how they can, when they joke around together, that's like a new way of experimenting with ways to talk between us.
Right, right.
Yes, so I'm looking for, I thought there was, but also I remember with that particular example that I felt that that was very salient. I think that that was also a part of the reason why I rated it so high, because like, I don't know, like the fact that she like goes into this whole thing about seeing violent images and it's constantly on your mind. And then I'll tell you another reason I think this issue is so important to you. Yesterday was the first time you were able to get angry at me, like showing this is really big for you. Like, I don't know. And like, it just seemed like a focal point in the session.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would probably like come down to like at least a 7.
Okay. Mel, where are you with this? Is she on the call still?
I think she's talking, but nothing's, we can't hear.
Oh, hi guys. Sorry, I was muted. It wasn't
okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I heard all that. I might have cut in and out a little bit. But the example was the, I'm trying to read it right now, the fooling around. And was there another example?
No, that was the only one, but that was a clear example of the two of them talking about their relationship.
Yeah.
So what I had said was that given this information, I would have to consider piles 5 through 7 probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just reading it through now, sorry. I can move mine up too.
And also Holly was pointing out that it seems to be one of the more salient parts of the session.
Oh, yeah.
Which also gives it some weight.
Yeah, you know what? I'll move it up because I'm scrolling up like the getting angry part. Yeah. Yeah, so either or 5, 6.
Okay. All right, sounds good. All right. So that was 98, right? Yeah. Next one's 42. And the gold standard is 4. They had it in a neutral pile. But Holly had it in 1. Jeremy had it in 3, which is fine. The 1's a little low. And Mel had it in 1. That would be low.
Yes, Mel.
And Anthony had it in 7, which would be high. So people are all over the place on this one, seemingly.
Yeah, what item is this?
So like just between Mel and Anthony alone, there's a 6 point gap, which is quite extensive. So we got to narrow that gap. So let's look at 42. patient rejects versus accepts therapist's comments and observations. So placed toward characteristic end, if patient typically disagrees with or ignores therapist's suggestions, observations, or interpretations. For example, after the patient made a major interpretation, or after the therapist made a major interpretation, the therapist or the patient casually remarked that he or she didn't think that was quite it. So a kind of a contrarian response to the therapist. I have a patient like that. I see her on Mondays at 2 o'clock. She almost never agrees with anything that I say. It's a very distinctive feeling that you have with those types of patients. Placed toward uncharacteristic direction, indicating that the patient tends to agree with the therapist's remarks. So I guess really uncharacteristic would be a patient who's just a yes person, just total compliance with whatever the therapist says. So those are your two options, right? The rejecting therapist comments and mostly accepting the therapist comments. So in the light of that, we go back to the item, and the gold standard raters felt that kind of in the middle, maybe this patient accepted some remarks and interpretations and didn't accept others, whereas Holly felt that this was a totally compliant, totally like putty in the hands of the therapist.
It was. Wow. It was totally compliant. Mel agrees with me, right, Mel?
Yeah, I do think that this patient was really was like honoring what the therapist said, and like they were talking about like voices and bad presences, and whenever the therapist was like, let me put it differently, or like, let me tell you what I think, every time the patient was like, okay, like
the patient agreed every single time.
All right, Anthony, you gotta support your point of view here.
This patient was quote unquote whipped. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree that the patient was that agreeable the whole time. I think 7 was definitely too high, but I'll read you a couple blurbs that stuck out to me here. Patient, I just felt bad presences. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I knew they were bad. You know? Bad in what sense? That they were going to hurt me. And the therapist goes, put it differently, I think you're in the middle of a fantasy of being abused, a very vivid fantasy, and it's scaring you to death because you don't recognize that it's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not feeling abused. Therapist, but it's on your mind, so much so that you can't even sleep in your room. And they keep talking, Therapist, oh, you're not the only one that has this preoccupation and anxiety about violent images. To put it differently, I think what really is disturbing you really, more than anything else, is your own aggressive and violent fantasies. Patient, after 4 hyphenated pauses, but I don't wish that on anybody.
Okay, and then, Anthony, that was the... Sorry, go ahead.
One more. and then when they're talking about the anger thing that we referenced earlier, where the therapist was like, you know, you seem to get angry. I never heard you get angry. And patient is like, I didn't really get angry. Therapist is like, a little bit. And then patient says, a little bit, but I was more fooling around than anything. So I guess I interpreted those responses as being disagreeable, but I don't think it was as much as a 7. So I would bring it down into neutrality, but I don't think it's like...
I agree with Anthony. I think a 1, Holly, is way too low.
No, but you have to read the transcript because...
Yeah, but see, a 1 would mean that the patient never disagreed, and that just isn't true.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the one time that the patient stated any differing opinion was, I didn't feel abused. But other than that, every single time was agreeing with the interpretation. And even though, and the example that Anthony just read, which is, I didn't get angry, and then they like laughed at it, and they were like, a little bit, like... The patient was like then agreeing with every single interpretation.
So you just give me 2 instances where the patient didn't agree with the therapist.
No, I can give you every instance, but it would be a long list. Let's see. Okay, like every interpretation, it's like the fantasy is so vivid, it goes on even after Nancy is back and you find it. No, it didn't. It wasn't like you imagined, but the fantasy acquires a life of its own, you think. You think it's still going on. The patient says, see, last night was different because I felt the present since for the past. It expands upon that. And then earlier it says, the patient said, the therapist said, you're feeling in crisis. Yeah, I do feel in crisis. Let me put it in a different way. You have a very vivid fantasy of violence. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that really got lived out or fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely disturbing to you. Yeah, I think what worried you is your own violent fantasies, blah, blah, blah. The patient says, mm-hmm. Therapist says, my guess would be that you imagine that there's someone out there who is going to victimize you, mm-hmm, hurt you. Yeah, I was scared to go to sleep last night. It was like the whole transcript was like the patient agreeing with the therapist, like, except for maybe that instance with I didn't feel abused. Like, I could read you the whole transcript, but it's exactly like what I just said to you.
And I'm not angry. Okay, all right, maybe a little bit. That's also an initial disagreement.
I think the perspective in which the patient is like, yeah, the attitude I'm picking up on is like, yes, therapist, you got that right. Yes, that is what I was saying.
Yeah,
but it's not like, it's not the attitude of, wow, therapist, you're so right.
Yeah, but that's not the item is just agreeing with the therapist. It's not saying, wow, therapist, you're so right.
I think a one is too low.
I will come up to a three.
Okay, I'm fine with that. That's only one within one of the gold standard. So if we're saying if we can accept like a three or a four, where are the others?
I'll come up to a three also.
Yeah, I mean, Mel.
I don't think the patient was like you described, like putty. Like, you know, I think, you know, the patient said the patient's feelings. I think she mostly agreed, but I don't think it was like she was putty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good way to put it.
And Anthony, can you come down to a five?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right.
This is like trial in the court, like testifying for your item.
All right, so we got item 45. The gold standard, there was some disagreement between the two of them. One had it maybe in six, the other in seven, or some variation of that. Holly had it in six, so that's right on. Jeremy had it in one, which is quite low. Mel had it in six, which is fine, and Anthony had it in three, which is a little low. So let's see what item 45 was. One of our favorites. Therapist adopts supportive stance. So the gold standard, and most of you felt that this therapist was leaning toward support, meaning kind of a little bit of a cheerleader quality. A little bit of encouraging, as opposed to not assuming that kind of a role and just being a more of a neutral, blank screen type of therapist. So, Anthony, maybe you want to talk about your rating.
Yeah, I think my rationale is quick. It's just I don't think I could identify an example in which the therapist was like encouraging and like a good job sense, or, you know, as you put it, cheerleader. There weren't any blatant examples of the therapist being unsupportive, but I did rate it leaning on the side of unsupportive. I got like a neutral vibe.
Okay.
Yeah, but
go ahead, Holly.
I feel bad. I feel like I give Anthony such a hard time. No, but like, if you got a neutral vibe, it wouldn't really be, like, in that category. Like, it just would be, like, probably unsupportive. Like, for instance, like, if you control F, I regard that like, the therapist says, I regard that as a pretty big step forward, the fact that the patient expressed their anger during session. So, like, that is, like, stating that the patient is growing, is, like, supporting the patient. So I think that was the main reason that I think there was one other thing, but I think that was the main reason that I rated it above just, a, like, a 5, because I thought that that was, like, there were moments like that, but I didn't think it was, like, an extremely supportive therapist.
Yeah, that sounds, a, that Anthony, you'd agree that that sounds a little encouraging, right?
That didn't even really cross my mind. I was selectively not remembering that instance.
Okay. You know, being unsupportive is not, we're not using that term in the way we would say my dad was always unsupportive toward me growing up. We're using it in a more technical sense. Unsupportive means not a cheerleader. And actually, from a psychodynamic point of view, that's actually a good thing. So different theoretical orientations view unsupportive differently, but it's not the same thing as saying, you know, like, my dad was never played baseball with me, his very unsupportive father. Not the same thing. So, so in some theoretical orientations, it's important not to be a cheerleader. And psychodynamic therapy is one of those orientations that being a cheerleader actually doesn't lend itself to self-exploration. It doesn't further that process. And so psychodynamic therapists don't do it or try not to do it. So,
I rated this as a 1. Hi, Dr. Goodman.
Oh!
Here, Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hello.
So, my training let out early, luckily, so I got to catch the tail end.
Oh, now you, so you can really rail against the gold standard and Holly and Mel.
People as dedicated as I am on this day.
Yes,
so,
wow.
Round of applause for Jeremy.
Nice job.
So yeah, I put a 1 because I guess I saw that the therapist was trying to push off this narrative as the patient is in a fantasy world and fantasy like driven, while the patient really doesn't acknowledge that at all. And then also the patient would say things like, I don't want to talk about this. And she was very afraid to say, the thing at the very end about the sexual abuse, she's like, she's afraid to say it. And the therapist kind of makes a remark saying that, well, I don't really know what it is you're referring to, but I know that you know the words to saying it, so I guess you're reluctant to say it has to do with Ed not wanting to really look at it square in the face. Recognizing that these feelings that you have aren't that you have. So I felt like it was the opposite of, like, cheerleading.
But how is that? Wait, but how is that unsupportive?
Did I read this wrong?
No. But I'm just trying to understand. What page is that on?
Towards the end.
You know, rating it an extreme low pile would be like something like, the patient says something like, man, I wish I had somebody who could just tell me I'm doing a good job. You know, somebody like you. And the therapist just sits there. So you want me to be a cheerleader for you? Right? Okay. That would be a 1.
Okay, so like more baiting the...
Yeah, that would be an extreme low score. I don't know if you were here for the examples that were given of this... therapist who being slightly encouraging. Holly, that was you, right? Who gave the example of the patient being slightly encouraging?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You want to read that again?
You meant today. Yeah. when the therapist said, I regard that as a pretty big step forward, like about when the patient was expressing, like the patient expressed their feelings during session, which was like, of an area of growth, the therapist said, I regard that as a pretty big step forward.
Yeah, that's cheerleading.
You were able to get angry at me.
Yeah, that's cheerleading.
sense.
That's being supportive. I don't know if you were here when I was mentioning it, Jeremy, but the word supportive, it has a technical definition associated with it. It's not supportive in the way that we think of supportive. Or non-supportive is not what we would consider unsupportive in everyday pedestrian language. So I use the example, my dad never played baseball with me. He was a very unsupportive father. That has a very negative connotation, but unsupportive doesn't have to have a negative connotation. In fact, in psychodynamic therapy, being an unsupportive therapist would have a very positive connotation. We're not cheerleading, because cheerleading actually, from a psychodynamic point of view, cheerleading actually deprives the patient of an opportunity to explore their feelings of, let's say, dejection or, like, for example, look at this. You did this in the past. You can do it again. That's probably said in response to a patient who says, I can't possibly engage in public speaking again. I'm going to be embarrassed. And the therapist says, you did this in the past. You can do it again. A psychodynamic therapist who's unsupportive would say something like, well, let's explore what's making it so difficult for you to talk in front of public. What comes to mind about that? You see the difference in intervention there?
Yeah.
So one's considered supportive. You did this in the past. You can do it again. And the other is unsupportive. Geez, I wonder what's standing in your way of public speaking. What's going on with you there? What comes to mind about you getting up in front of a crowd and speaking? So I'm not being supportive there. I'm being unsupportive, really. I'm not being an advocate for the patient. So it's not the common term, the common meaning of supportive. It has a very technical term that has more to do with being an advocate or a cheerleader. And in psychodynamic therapy, that would have a very negative connotation, to be a cheerleader. But in CBT, that's a good thing, to be a cheerleader. And to be unsupportive is a good thing in psychodynamic therapy, and it's a bad thing in CBT. So there are very different views on whether a therapist should be supportive or not.
Cool.
Does that help?
Yes, a lot.
All right. Is Brian still on the call?
Yep.
I'm here.
Okay, you want anything to add on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head saying that it's not what you typically think of supportive. I really don't have much to expand upon that, other than, like, just because you are not supportive doesn't mean you're not taking an adopted stance. I know that was very, like, quadruple negative thing, but hopefully that made sense. But yeah, I think Dr. Grimmon really nailed it on the differences between psychodynamic and CBT and what that actually means in the context of therapy.
Yeah, I think you're not wrong about that, Brian.
So Dr. Goodman, just so I can understand this. So in psychodynamic therapy, the therapist is trying to take the patient to the place where maybe they don't want to look and explore.
Yes.
Okay, so it can't really be like cheering them on, because
exactly.
Cheering them on. Okay.
That, see, cheering them on really, really thwarts that process, doesn't it? If you're trying to explore where they don't want to look, cheerleading actually takes you in the opposite direction.
Can I give an example?
Yeah.
Please.
So this was today.
Is this from your own personal life?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had my own therapist, and I have a really hard time talking about death and dying. And recently, my grandfather died, and I was talking to my therapist and saying how this is so hard for me to talk about, and I started crying. And he said, well, what's coming up for you right now? I said, well, I'm shaking, and obviously you see him crying, and this is just really hard. And he said, well, tell me more about the death. So that was not supportive, but it put me in a place that it had to put me. You know what I mean? So it wasn't supportive, because obviously I wanted to avoid the conversation about the death, but it was necessary.
Yeah, that's right. Helpful, because he didn't say to you, like, it's okay,
right.
Instead he said, let's go back to the place that's making you feel uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Right, I mean, he could have said, you know, you've gotten through deaths in the past, you'll get through this one too.
Right, none of that.
That would be supportive, but for my own theoretical orientation, that would be the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
But other therapists, legitimate therapists from legitimate other theoretical orientations, would think that what the therapist said to Taylor was the wrong thing to say. That the therapist should have been supportive and said, you know, this must be so hard for you. I know that you can get through this. You're strong. You know, you've got through the death of your you know, grandmother, and you know, you'll get through the death of your grandfather too. You know, there are therapists who say that's what he should have said. I personally feel that Taylor's therapist did perfectly, said exactly what I would have said.
Yeah, me too.
So, but you know, a lot of these items are open to interpretation and how you think, what you think would be helpful to a patient or to a patient. So, anyway, I think we've talked this one out. But I think you all did a great job with this item. I mean, just wonderful.
Very supportive.
Yeah, thank you. So, item 100, the gold standard was 2, so either they both put it in 2, or one put it in 1 and the other put it in 3. So, they agreed with each other pretty well. Holly, however, put it in 7. Jeremy was in 4, that's fine. Mel put in 2. That's fine. That's perfect. And Anthony put in 6. That's a little high.
The whole reason I put this in 7 is because of the salient item I talked about earlier, of with having to be with the item about the therapy
right.
relationship.
Let me just see. All right, so there's a difference. So each item is supposed... Each item was designed to describe something unique about the interaction.
Yeah.
About the process. So this item is not a duplicate.
No, I'm of that not other saying that.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because this is therapist draws connections between the therapeutic relationship and other relationships. So it's different.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know it's different, but I'm saying, like, the salience of the same item that I described earlier, when the therapist said, I'll tell you another reason I think that this issue is important to me.
Right.
What was it yesterday, the first time you were ever able to get angry with me? When I kicked you out down here, I regard that as a pretty big step forward. I didn't really get angry. I was more fooling around. Well, sometimes when you're experimenting with something new, fooling around is the way to do it. I know he compared it to something. Like, the fact that the patient earlier talked about their violent fantasies against other people, like, if you go earlier, the therapist said, I think what's really disturbing you more than anything is your own aggressive and violent fantasies. Like, he's referring to earlier with against other people. And then moving on to, then yesterday, this is an important issue for you. Yesterday, the first time you were ever able to get angry at me. So it's like a connection between acting out aggression and anger, like, regarding... like in therapy, and that the connection between that and having violent fantasies against other people. So yeah, the word connection or comparison wasn't said, but that was very explicit.
I'm not that convinced. The connection that the therapist is making is not that it's not explicit to me, or explicit enough.
No, but from what I read, that was only the few lines, but the whole transcript is about is about violent fantasies, afraid of having violent fantasies against other people.
But to get credit for this item, the therapist would have to say something like this. You know, when you got angry with me yesterday, or when you got angry with me a few minutes ago and you laughed about it, you know, that showed me that you're very afraid of getting angry with me. And we've seen the same pattern that you have with your dad, where you laugh when you get angry with him because you're afraid of showing your anger to him because of what he'll do to you.
Yeah.
It has to be explicit like that.
I mean, I guess I regarded it as way more explicit because it wasn't said like that in one time. Like, throughout the whole transcript, the patient was saying, oh, it's very frightening to me that I'm having these thoughts about these people and being violent against them. And then that one part, like, just like the first time you were able to get angry at me when I kicked you out down here. Like, I don't know, like, for me, I regard it as implicit, but... like, but based on that, I understand that it needs to be more obvious.
Yeah, I think the key words here are draws connections. Therapist draws connections. She did not draw the connection. It's implied. I agree with that part of what you're saying, Holly, but it has to be an explicit drawing a connection, and the therapist didn't do that.
Yeah, so I guess I would put it, what did I put it? Then I would put it at a 5.
Can you move it down to a 4?
Wait, but how is it a 2? I don't
understand. Because the therapist didn't do it. It's implied, so a 2, if you want to put it in a 3 or 4, I would be okay with that. But I think higher than a 4, the therapist just didn't do that. In fact, there's only one point where the therapist actually even talks about the therapeutic relationship. So... and I understand that it's salient, so okay, I'll give you credit for that. I think you put it in a 6, that other item. But this, drawing a connection, I think is just going too far. And you have to pull it down from a 6, that other item, and put it at least 4, maybe a 3. 2 might be a little too low, and maybe one of the gold standard raters put it in 3. I don't know. But a 7, I just think is too high. I don't know.
Yeah, I would go with a 4.
Okay, I don't know how you feel, Anthony, about it.
Yeah, I think when I put it too high, I agree that it should be neutral in that it didn't play a role in the session. I would think that a 2 would signify that they're talking about interpersonal relationships and the therapist is, like, explicitly not drawing connections between those relationships and... their relationship, and that's why there wasn't really much talk of interpersonal relationships, in my opinion. So that's why I err on the side of neutrality. Like, it's just not relevant to the session.
I would also agree on that. But there wasn't opportunities for the therapist to really go against drawing conclusions because she was really talking about her fear of what happened with these people, not about.
So there really wasn't any discussion of real relationships. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there was.
Where?
The whole thing. Okay.
No, Holly, there is a difference between talking about fantasies about relationships and talking about actual relationships. Maybe that's the distinction here.
Okay. So...
the thing I recall is that the patient was bothered by something that happened to a Nancy.
Yeah.
I don't think it was just on the relationship between the patient and Nancy.
Yeah, so no, but that's about a relationship. Part of it has to do with Nancy, what happened with Nancy. I was very upset about that night. I stayed up until 12 listening to hear from her to see if she'd come back, and my room is right by the door. She talked about what happened with Nancy. Here, I have notes. Nancy says, okay, to put it differently, I think you're in the middle of a fantasy of being abused. It's on your mind so much so that you can't even sleep in your room. And patient says, and Nancy said he wasn't hurt, but I don't believe her. That raises the question on whether one can believe what she's saying. Yeah, that's a separate issue. It's true she wasn't hurt. I would expect you wouldn't want to believe it because this fantasy is so powerful. I want to believe it, but I don't believe it. So talking about, like, believing what Nancy is saying, I'm not the only one who thought that she was killed.
I think the subject is still the fantasy in that, not the relationship itself.
Yeah, it sounds more like the fantasy.
I think what I was originally saying, I think, is in agreement that it should be neutral and not towards two.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I agree with you, but also there's an item with talk about relationships, so I probably rated that high.
All right.
I understand what you guys are saying.
So can you slide down a little bit?
Who?
Holly.
Both of you. No, I said I could do a four.
Okay. You too, Anthony?
Sure, yeah.
All right, that's still neutral.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we were talking about the same thing anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
We were arguing against the gold standard raiders.
Yeah.
All right, so item 32 is squarely in the middle. Holly's at 4, that's fine. Jeremy's at 1, that's low. Mel's at 7, that's fine, and Anthony's at 3, that's fine. But if you think about Mel's rating, with Jeremy's rating, you see how that would be problematic, especially if Jeremy were paired up with Mel. That's a 6-point discrepancy. So we got to figure out how to get you two into the middle. So item 32... is patient achieves a new understanding or insight. So the gold standard is saying, you know, that they really didn't have a strong opinion about whether this patient achieved a new insight or understanding of themselves or not. Characteristic of a new perspective, new connection or attitude. Warded off content emerges during the course of the hour. For example, therapist's remark. Following the therapist's remark, the patient appears thoughtful, says, I think that's true. I never really thought about that situation that way before. Uncharacteristic if no evidently new insight or awareness emerges during the hour. So the patient comes out of the session exactly the same way that they came in. So the gold standard raters seem to feel that this patient was somewhere in the middle.
I could definitely make mine more neutral on this because I feel like the therapist like broke things down and like really like dove into like the patient's aggressive feelings and violent images. And, you know, I think the patient agreed, but I don't recall the patient ever saying anything like, wow, I've never thought of that or like that. This is the first time I'm thinking about this. So I think it could be a little bit more neutral than I rated it initially.
Okay. Jeremy?
So I'm wondering also, because the therapist kept trying to say that these things are fantasies and stuff like that, but the patient never agreed with the therapist's interpretation. That's why I did rate it lower. And then even at the end, when he was making this big revelation with like her not wanting to talk about sexual abuse, like the patient didn't regard that as big as the therapist thought it was. That's why I put it really low.
So your argument is that she refused to accept new insight or awareness?
Yeah, because she doesn't try to, she doesn't accept, she says yeah, but she doesn't seem to accept what the therapist is saying.
Okay, doesn't seem to. What evidence do you have? What's the doesn't seem to? Where's that coming from?
Because she says the same things over and over again. And the therapist keeps harping on this fantasy. So, like, anytime that she states her opinions on what happened, the therapist will say, oh, this fantasy, someone attacked her. And the patient says, yeah. Let's do page 384. I was afraid she was attacked by someone, and you know, just taken someone and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient says, you know, and then the therapist says, so in your fantasy, someone attacked her, abducted her. The patient says, yeah, seeming to agree to the fantasy and stuff like that. But then pages later, she says that, no, I don't believe, I don't remember where, but she says that she doesn't believe that she's telling the truth and that she did actually get attacked.
Okay, so you're saying in the one instance that the patient didn't accept the therapist's intervention.
Well, no, and then also there's another instance, and that's a separate issue, but even if it's true that she wasn't hurt, I would expect you wouldn't want to believe it because this fantasy is so powerful for you. Patient, I want to believe it, but I don't believe it.
I mean, you could argue that the patient is achieving a new understanding by being aware of the conflict that she's in. Part of her wants to believe it, and the other part of her doesn't. Maybe she came into the session not being aware of that conflict.
That's true. I think that's a good example of why it should be neutral.
So that would cancel, they would cancel each other out. I mean, I think based on what I'm hearing, the rating of 5 is probably a solid one for that item. All right?
Yep. Agreed.
Okay.
Good supporting evidence, Jeremy.
Thank you.
So I wanted to do 10, but we got through 8. That's plenty. That's good enough. Thank you, everybody, for humoring me on a late edition of Applied Child Lab, and I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Eat a lot of food, turkey, and if you're vegetarian, don't eat turkey. And
I'm a vegetarian. How did you know?
I didn't, but you know, people are vegetarian and they can't eat turkey, so you know.
Yeah.
You look like you're in the dark.
I am. I've just been sitting here the whole time with my power off and my hot spot.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't see your video until now.
I love it. I'm so happy that the hotspot worked. So good to know.
Yeah. Thank you for making the rest of the meeting. And thank you, Jeremy, for joining us, even though, you know, you came a little late. Thank you for making the effort. So I wish everybody happy Thanksgiving. And I will see you guys, well, two of you anyway, on Tuesday. And the rest of you next Thursday, the week after Thanksgiving. All right?
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. Yeah, happy holidays.
Thanksgiving. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.